Imagine for a second, right? Imagine you are the CEO of this massive manufacturing company,
Okay.
and you just dropped like $50 million on a state-of-the-art, fully autonomous robotic assembly line.
Oh, wow. Just the absolute bleeding edge of tech.
Exactly. It is a modern marvel. But when you walk down to the factory floor on day one, you realize something completely insane. Your managers are still making the human employees physically carry individual parts across the room to hand them to the robots.
Wait, really? Just treating the robots like they're the old manual tools?
Yes. You bought the future, but you forced it to work inside the constraints of the past. It sounds absurd, right?
Completely absurd.
But if you look closely at what is happening across the corporate world right now with artificial intelligence, I mean, that is exactly what is happening. Everyone is buying the software, but behind closed doors, companies are quietly realizing that AI just isn't fundamentally changing their bottom line.
It is, it's really the ultimate paradox of the current moment. I mean, we have access to the most powerful cognitive technology in human history, right?
Yeah.
And yet, well, if you're listening to this and you feel like your own company's AI strategy is basically just handing out some premium logins and hoping revenue magically goes up, I promise you,
Yeah.
you are not alone.
No, not
You
gonna.
are actually in the vast majority.
And that collective frustration, that is exactly why we are pulling apart our foundational text for today's deep dive. We're looking at this brilliant piece of research. It's the orgchange.ai dispatch from June 2026, put together by Craig Russell.
It's a fantastic document.
It really is. And our mission today is to figure out why the technology itself isn't the bottleneck right now. Because, spoiler alert, we are the bottleneck.
Right, exactly. The core thesis we were exploring from the dispatch today is this idea that AI only actually scales, and it only delivers on that massive financial hype when leaders treat its adoption as a fundamental operating model redesign, not just another IT rollout.
Okay, let's unpack this because operating model redesign sounds like the kind of terrifying corporate buzzword that just results in 2 years of meetings and zero actual progress.
Oh, absolutely. It sounds like a consultant's dream and an employee's nightmare.
Right. But the data Craig Russell brings to the table, it proves that ignoring this redesign is what's actually stalling all this progress.
Yeah, the statistics in the dispatch are just a brutal reality check. We are seeing companies spend absolute fortunes building out their tech stacks while completely neglecting the structural organization required to actually run them.
So what are the actual numbers looking like?
Well, the dispatch pulls from a few different places. First, there's a Deloitte study showing that 84% of companies have not redesigned jobs around AI.
84%.
Yeah. And then Aon found that only 18% have actually reskilled most of their workforce.
Just 18. Wow.
And then, to top it off, McKinsey reports that 86% of organizations are just completely unprepared for day-to-day AI operations.
See, I look at a number like 86% unprepared, and my immediate instinct is to, push back a little.
How so?
Well, I get why you needed to redesign jobs back in the 90s when you rolled out complex, clunky enterprise software. You needed manuals and training courses. But isn't the whole selling point of modern generative AI that it is incredibly intuitive?
You mean like the conversational interfaces?
Yeah. You don't need a manual, you just talk to it like a person.
Yeah.
So if the tool is really that user-friendly, why on earth do we need a massive company-wide structural redesign?
Okay, that is a great question. But it's because you are conflating individual productivity with enterprise scale.
Okay, explain that.
Yes, the tool is incredibly easy for you as a solo individual to use. But an enterprise isn't a solo individual, right? It is a highly complex web of interconnected processes.
Right.
The dispatch cites the IBM Agentic Operations study on this. It reveals that 82% of executives say functional silos are the primary barrier blocking AI value.
Functional silos. So basically, departments not talking to each other.
Exactly. So it's not about whether you can use the AI to write a report faster. It's about whether your faster report actually changes anything if the department next door still takes 3 weeks to review it.
Oh, man. That is so painfully relatable. So I can do my job in 10 minutes, but the process still takes a month.
Precisely. And that IBM study found that 88% of organizations are actively experimenting with AI right now, which is great, but 81% report absolutely no meaningful bottom line gains.
81% are getting zero bottom line value. That is wild.
Think of it like plugging a cutting-edge nuclear fusion reactor into a city's 1920s electrical grid.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
Right. The reactor works perfectly. It generates massive power. But the moment you turn it on, the outdated wiring in the city just immediately melts. squeezing a radically efficient technology into an old siloed organizational structure, it doesn't generate value. It just moves the bottleneck to somewhere else.
Squeezing, that is, that's the perfect word for it. And what's wild is that the people at the very top of the corporate ladder are finally starting to smell the melting wires. They're realizing this isn't just an IT problem anymore.
Yeah, there is a profound executive reset happening right now. The Dispatch actually quotes Jacek Olczak.
He's the group CEO of Philip Morris International, right?
Exactly. And he diagnoses this perfectly. He explicitly states that trying to take AI tools and squeeze them into the existing organization is highly likely to fail. He says, and this is a direct quote from the Dispatch, "It's not the technology that is the limiting factor. We are the limiting factor."
I mean, it takes a lot of humility for a global CEO to admit that. But if I'm an executive, right, and I've spent my entire career learning how to optimize traditional human workflows, and suddenly I have to completely redesign how my company literally functions.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. That has to induce some serious panic at the top.
Oh, it's inducing a systemic crisis of confidence across the C-suite. The Dispatch pulls from the LHH 2026 Executive Research. They looked at perceived skills gaps among leaders.
What did they find?
In a single year, knowledge of digital and emerging tech jumped 7 positions. It is now the number one skills gap that leaders admit to having. And at the same time, overall leader confidence dropped by 11 points.
Wow. So look, if you are listening to this right now and you've been feeling the chaos on the ground, like if your boss seems erratic about AI or the strategy just changes every Tuesday, this explains so much of your daily reality.
It really does. The people at the top are just as confused as the people on the front lines.
Right. The executives are suddenly realizing they thought they bought a new software suite, but what they actually bought was the need to rebuild the entire airplane while it's already in the air.
That's the perfect way to contextualize it. What's fascinating here is how the Dispatch implies that AI adoption that simply preserves the existing operating model isn't transformation at all, it's just decoration.
Just decoration. Oh, I love that phrase. So, okay, let's move from the problem to the solution. What does it actually look like when a company successfully rebuilds the airplane midair?
Well, the Dispatch gives us some very concrete case studies where this operating model redesign actually worked. Let's start with Dahl. They are a brand part of Saint-Gobain.
Okay. What was their situation?
They were facing a massive physical infrastructure crisis. Their warehouse was operating at 140% capacity.
Let's just pause on the physical reality of that for a second. A warehouse at 140% capacity, that means pallets are stacked in the aisles.
Yeah, completely overflowing.
Trucks are backed up out into the street, and employees literally cannot move. It is pure physical gridlock.
It was completely unsustainable. So they decided to implement AI to fix it. They brought in smart alerts, automated warehouse systems, and this concept called full stack observability.
Okay, wait, full stack observability. For those of us who, you know, don't run global supply chains, what does that actually mean in plain English?
Sure. Think of it like a central nervous system for the entire business. Instead of having one software system for inventory and a completely different one for customer orders.
And neither of them talk to each other, obviously. Well,
exactly. And maybe a third one for the shipping trucks. Full stack observability means all the data is pulled into one single unified AI-driven brain. Every action is visible to everyone across the company in real time.
Okay, so they bought the big shiny AI brain. But according to the Dispatch, just buying the brain wasn't what actually saved them, right?
No, not at all. The AI was just the catalyst. The actual hard work the operating model redesigned was breaking down the functional silos to make that brain useful.
How did they do that?
Dahl had to force their logistics team, their IT department, and their customer operations teams to stop working independently. They literally consolidated their monitoring from 10 different siloed dashboard solutions down to just 4.
Wow. Meaning they forced different departments to look at the exact same data and share accountability for it.
Mm-hmm.
They rewired the city grid before turning on the reactor.
Exactly. They did the hard organizational work alongside the tech rollout. And because they did that, the results were staggering. They accelerated their new e-commerce launch by 4 months, and they saw 100% return on investment within weeks.
Wait, weeks, not years.
Weeks. Because the AI wasn't getting blocked by middle managers fighting over whose spreadsheet was correct.
That makes total sense for an operational bottleneck like a warehouse. You can physically see the traffic jam.
Mm-hmm.
But the dispatch outlines a second case study that I found completely fascinating.
The legal sector one.
Yes. Because it's not about fixing a broken process. It's about AI accidentally breaking a company's entire economic foundation. Let's talk about the Wolters Kluwer survey on the global legal sector.
Yeah, this is where things get truly existential. The Wolters Kluwer 2026 Future Ready Lawyer Survey found that 92% of legal professionals are now using AI tools daily.
92%. So basically everyone.
Everyone. And it is working exactly as promised. Lawyers are saving roughly 10% of their time every single week.
Okay, but here's where the math just doesn't add up for me.
Yeah.
The entire traditional law firm model is built on the billable hour, right?
Correct. Time is literal money.
So if I am a lawyer who charges, let's say, $500 an hour, and an AI helps me write a massive contract in 2 hours instead of 10, I mean, I didn't just save 8 hours, I just lost $4,000 in revenue.
Yeah.
If you just plug AI into that specific business model,
mm-hmm.
aren't you essentially optimizing your way into bankruptcy?
That is the exact threat they're facing. And it perfectly illustrates why this has to be a structural redesign. The survey notes that 62% of these legal professionals actively expect AI to reduce their billable hours.
Wow. So the efficiency itself is a direct threat to the revenue stream.
Yes. If you are a change leader in an industry like law or consulting or really any service that's billed by time, your primary job is no longer training people on how to use AI to write faster.
Right. They already know how to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Your actual job is redesigning the business model itself, perhaps shifting to flat fee pricing or value-based billing, just so the company can financially survive the efficiency of the tool.
That is a massive distinction. You aren't just redesigning the workflow. You are redesigning how the business justifies its own existence to clients.
Completely.
But let's be real for a second. You cannot execute a massive shift like value-based pricing in a global law firm or, you know, cross-functional alignment in a massive warehouse by just sending out a motivational email.
Definitely not. An email won't fix that.
So how do leaders actually get massive groups of people to change deeply ingrained behaviors?
You need structural scaffolding. Ad hoc, localized adoption will always fail at scale. And the dispatch highlights the U.S. Department of the Air Force as the blueprint for how to build this scaffolding.
The Air Force? I mean, you don't get a much larger, more rigidly structured bureaucracy than the U.S. military.
Right, which makes them the perfect example. In April 2026, the Air Force released their AI strategy. But what makes it relevant to corporate leaders isn't the military tech, it's the framing.
How did they frame it?
They explicitly codified AI adoption, not as an IT initiative, but as an institutional capability challenge.
Institutional capability. Mm-hmm. Wow. That really elevates it from, like, a software license to a core operational doctrine.
Precisely. They established formal governance structures, they set strict enterprise-wide data standards, and they laid out long-term workforce development plans.
They built the tracks before they tried to run the train.
Exactly. And to help organizations actually build this kind of scaffolding, Craig Russell's Dispatch introduces a framework. It's called the OrgChange.ai 9-square grid.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because this grid takes the fuzzy, abstract concept of change management and turns it into a highly functional map.
It's very practical.
But before we dive into the specific squares, the dispatch mentions that this grid synthesizes the dimensions of people, process, and technology with classic change management models, specifically Cotter, Lewin, and AD Carr.
Right.
Now, I know what process and tech are, but give me the quick conversational crash course on these academic models. What exactly is AD Carr?
It's actually very intuitive. AD Carr is an acronym for the 5 outcomes an individual needs to achieve for a change to be successful.
Okay, what are the 5?
Awareness, desire, knowledge, ability, and reinforcement. It's essentially a psychological checklist. You can't just give someone the ability to use a tool if they don't have the desire to change their habits first.
Okay. That makes total sense. You can't force ability on someone who doesn't care. And what about Lewin?
Kurt Lewin's model is basically the physics of change. He said organizations have to go through 3 stages. First, unfreeze the old behaviors, then change the process, and finally, refreeze the new behaviors so people don't just slip back into their old habits.
Unfreeze, change, refreeze. Got it.
Yeah.
So when we look at Craig Russell's 9-square grid, it places these psychological realities right next to the hard operational processes.
Exactly. Let's look at square 5 on his grid. This is the intersection of process and the Lewin model. He calls it redesign before deploy.
Redesign before deploy. So this is where you tear down those functional silos we talked about with the IBM study.
Yes. Redesign before deploy means you do not unleash the technology until you have explicitly remapped how the work will flow across the newly unsiloed departments.
Because if you don't do that, you just end up with 81% of your company reporting no bottom line gains.
Right, you just melt the city grid. But square six is the one that is really crucial. This is where process meets the 80-car model, and it's titled Readiness Before Scale.
Readiness Before Scale. And you found a data point from IBM here that explains exactly why the Air Force's heavy scaffolding approach is actually the fastest way to move, right?
Yeah. Yes, and this is arguably the most important metric in the entire dispatch. IBM found that autonomous workflow adoption accelerates 5.4 times faster when change management readiness and AI governance are firmly in place before you try to scale.
5.4 times faster.
Isn't that wild?
It is, because my instinct would be that spending months setting up governance boards and readiness checklists would just slow everything down to a crawl. How does adding bureaucracy make the adoption 5 times faster?
Because it removes the friction of permission.
The friction of permission. What does that look like?
Well, in a normal rollout, an employee tries to use an AI tool, but then they hit a roadblock. They think, am I allowed to put customer data into this? Who approves this output? Does legal need to see this?
Right. And they panic.
Exactly. They panic, they stop what they are doing, and they wait for an answer that takes 3 weeks to come down the chain.
Oh, I've been there.
But when you have established governance and readiness up front, the employee already knows the boundaries. They know exactly what they are allowed to do, so they just do it. The tracks are laid so the train can run at full speed without derailing.
That is a massive insight. Governance isn't a speed bump. It's the guardrails that allow you to drive fast safely.
Exactly.
But there is a massive but looming over all of this. We've talked about the tech, the workflow, the revenue models, and the governance frameworks. But there is a hidden cost to all this endless structural redesigning.
The human cost.
Yes. The dispatch issues a very urgent warning about the people who actually have to live through this transition day in and day out.
And this brings us to square two on the grid. This is the intersection of people and the Lewin model. The focus here is chronic strain.
Chronic strain, that sounds heavy.
It is. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the dispatch pulls in data from Headspace's 2026 Workforce State of Mind report. And the numbers are an absolute blaring alarm for executives. 92% of workers are reporting strain at work.
92%. That is statistically almost everyone you interact with in a professional setting.
Yeah, almost everyone. And crucially, 24% of those workers directly attribute their strain to AI adoption and the constant shifting of expectations.
Wow.
Even worse, 51% of workers report being emotionally checked out on the job.
51% checked out. You know, earlier we talked about Lewin's concept of unfreezing behaviors. But how do you unfreeze a workforce that is already completely exhausted?
It's incredibly difficult.
If half your company is emotionally checked out, they aren't going to have the desire part of that 80-car model, are they?
They absolutely won't. And this is the massive blind spot for most leadership teams. Organizations are inflicting continuous, relentless change without addressing the human cost. They suffer from change fatigue.
Change fatigue. You know, it makes me think about trying to do a massive kitchen remodel, right?
Okay, I like where this is going.
You're tearing out all the cabinets and the plumbing while simultaneously demanding that your family continues to cook 3 complex meals a day in that exact same space.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Right. You keep handing them shiny new cooking gadgets and telling them it will make things faster, but there is dust everywhere and the sink literally doesn't work. Eventually, they don't care how cool the new blender is. They just order takeout. They check out.
That is exactly what change fatigue looks like in a corporate environment. The constant introduction of new AI tools without the structural readiness and psychological support to integrate them smoothly, it just exhausts the very people you are relying on to drive the company forward.
It's completely counterproductive.
It is. Chronic strain is a flashing red light on the dashboard that most executives are just taping over.
So look, if you are listening to this and you find yourself staring blankly at your monitor, feeling emotionally depleted by the endless barrage of new AI initiatives, new tools, and shifting directives at your job, the data proves you aren't crazy.
No, you are having a completely rational response to a structural failure.
Exactly. Your organization likely skipped the readiness phase. They didn't redesign the operating model. They just threw tech at you and expected you to absorb all the friction.
And until leaders address that chronic strain, the AI will remain a shiny, expensive stressor rather than an integrated capability. You have to address the human cost before you can install new organizational behaviors.
So what does this all mean when we pull the threads together? We started by asking a very simple question. Why is AI everywhere in the news, but nowhere to be found in the actual corporate bottom line?
Right.
And looking through the lens of Craig Russell's Dispatch, the answer is incredibly clear. Implementing the technology, you know, signing the vendor contract, turning on the software, that is actually the easy part.
Anyone can write a check.
Right. Readiness is the hard work. AI is only going to scale when leaders stop treating it as an IT upgrade and start treating it as a total foundational operating model redesign.
It requires the kind of forceful, cross-functional alignment we saw at the Dahl warehouse, and it requires having the courage to rethink your actual revenue streams, like the legal sector facing the death of the billable hour.
You have to rethink everything.
You do. It requires the heavy structural scaffolding of the Air Force to remove the friction of permission, and above all, it requires addressing the chronic strain and change fatigue of the human beings who actually keep the lights on.
It is an absolute paradigm shift for how we think about corporate management.
It really is. And as we wrap up, I want to leave you, the listener, with a final thought to mull over. Something that takes all of this structural redesign and pushes it one step further.
I'm ready.
Let's say your organization actually pulls this off. Let's say your leadership team succeeds in this massive redesign. You break down the silos. You somehow survive the change fatigue, you build the structural scaffolding, and you successfully let AI handle all of that operational friction.
So the system runs perfectly.
The system runs perfectly. Have you actually defined what uniquely human, high-value purpose your company is going to pursue with all of that newly freed up capacity?
Oh, wow.
If AI gives your entire workforce 20% of their time back, what exactly is the visionary creative goal you are aiming them toward? Because if you haven't figured that out, you might just be redesigning a machine to sit idle.
Man, that is a profound question to end on. You do all the excruciating work to clear the traffic jam, the road is finally wide open, and you realize you have absolutely no idea where you are driving to.
Exactly.
That is something to seriously think about as we all navigate this massive transition. Thank you so much for joining us and exploring these insights with us today. Until next time, keep questioning the models, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.